Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've spent some time reading the gospel books of the Bible, or just as you come to church week after week, you're very familiar with many of the miracles that Jesus performed. And we see especially miracles that he performed very frequently were miracles of healing, as the crowds of people who gathered around him routinely brought themselves or their friends or family members who were afflicted with some kind of physical ailment, and they begged Jesus to grant miraculous healing for those who were afflicted. And as we read the Gospels, we see a number of times it's mentioned that Jesus healed many in the crowd who gathered around him. But it doesn't specifically mention each and every miracle of healing that Jesus did. And so, for example, in this reading that we just heard from Mark chapter 7, it only mentions this one healing of the man who was deaf and who was unable to speak clearly. But in the parallel account from Matthew's gospel, describing it in brief these events of this time in Jesus' ministry, Matthew writes, "Large crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, those unable to speak, and many others. They put them down at his feet, and he healed them." And so out of all of those miraculous healings that Jesus performed at this particular time, perhaps on this one or just a couple or 3 days right around this time of Jesus' ministry, Mark, in his gospel, selects just this one miraculous healing to report in detail. It was the healing of that deaf man who also had difficulty speaking clearly. Perhaps we could imagine that he was maybe able to make some sounds, but that those sounds were not very clear or understandable by the people around him. And so this man's friends or family members brought him to Jesus, and as we read in verse 32, they pleaded with Jesus to place his hand on him. But the way that Jesus proceeded to heal the man perhaps wasn't quite exactly the way that his friends or family members who brought him there had in mind when they begged Jesus for healing. So we see that first Jesus took this man away in private, away from the crowd, and then he put his fingers into the man's ears, and then he spit. It doesn't say where he spit, but he spit, and then he touched the man's tongue. Kind of gross, we might think. Not the most cleanly thing to do, especially if we're concerned about spreading germs and preventing disease. But Jesus wasn't afraid. And after doing that, then Jesus looked up into heaven, perhaps silently praying to his heavenly Father. And then he said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." And then immediately, right from Jesus saying that one word, the man was able to hear perfectly, crystal clear, and he was able to speak plainly. He didn't need a period of time where somebody had to teach him how to pronounce all of the sounds. He was immediately able to speak clearly so that the people around him, the people who knew him, were able to understand him. They were amazed at what had just happened, at that immediate change that had come over their friend or their family member. And so we see, described in verse 37, the reaction of the people who, either a small number of people who were still nearby with Jesus and the man after he took him off to the side in private, or at least after Jesus brought him back, the people who knew this man, who knew his condition before, and then saw his condition after the healing, verse 37 says, they were amazed beyond measure. Exceedingly amazed. Just, they were out of their minds with astonishment at that miraculous change that had come over this man. Now, our text from Mark chapter 7 doesn't tell us whether those people who saw that change that had just happened miraculously by Jesus' power in the man that they had known, it doesn't say whether they drew any other conclusions from that miraculous event. conclusions about who Jesus is, about his true identity as the Son of God and as the Messiah. As we might assume, perhaps, that from the fact that it doesn't mention that here in the text, that just like so many other people, even Jesus' own disciples, it took those people a period of time to gradually come to understand and realize who Jesus really is. That Jesus wasn't just an ordinary person who had received from God some extraordinary power to do miraculous things, but that Jesus himself is the Son of God, true God, that he is the Messiah, the Savior whom God had promised for thousands of years before that time through his prophets, all the way back to when God made the first promise of a Savior to Adam and Eve after they sinned in the Garden of Eden. The people of that region, the region known as the Decapolis, which means the Ten Cities, a region that was kind of southeast of, from your perspective, Sea of Galilee, southeast of that, across on the other side of the Jordan River from where most of the Jewish people lived. We read that the people in that region who heard about this miracle, who heard about the other miracles that Jesus was doing, who heard his teaching, they were amazed beyond measure. And yet, perhaps surprisingly to us, we read also that Jesus gave the people strict orders to tell no one. Now, maybe you can also remember other times in the Gospels where Jesus gave that same command. Perhaps Jesus did that because he didn't want this news about the miracles that he had performed to arouse negative attention from those religious leaders of the Jewish people who did not believe in him as the Savior, who were jealous of him and his popularity. He didn't want their opposition to be aroused too soon before he knew that the time was ready for him to go to suffer and die on the cross. So that may be the reason why Jesus told them not to tell anyone. But we see that the more he did so, the more they kept proclaiming it. They went home after having seen those events, talking about what they had seen and heard. They shared with their neighbors, with other people that they met, the news about the miraculous healings that Jesus of Nazareth had performed. And they said about him, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Now think about that man who had been healed that we read about here. As he went home, certainly he was thinking that he had just been on the receiving end of the greatest miracle that he would ever experience in his life. I'm sure he was convinced that there would be nothing greater than what he had just experienced, that he would ever experience in the rest of his life. But if that was his assumption, he would be wrong. Jesus still had not yet performed his greatest miracle. That miracle would happen on Easter Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. And so as we know from the Gospels, Jesus continued in his ministry after ministering in that region of the Decapolis. His great fame, his reputation as a powerful teacher of God's word, as a powerful worker of miracles, that reputation went before him wherever he went. And his ministry continued to include many miracles, making the blind see, making the deaf hear, making the mute speak, the lame walk, even raising the dead back to life, ministering to, helping, serving all those who came his way, always reaching out to people with love and with compassion, always having the time to stop and to listen to the needs of people who came to him, to touch and heal and comfort, and just to be there for those who needed him. As the crowd said that day that we read about in Mark chapter 7, "He has done everything well." The man who had been unable to hear before could now hear. His tongue that before had been unable to speak clearly was now set free so he could clearly speak to others about what had happened to him. But we don't yet know if he knew, if he understood that Jesus was not just his healer, but also his savior from sin. Think about another occasion where Jesus worked an amazing miracle. A man who was paralyzed was brought to Jesus for healing by his friends. But before Jesus healed him, first he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." And then Jesus healed the man of his paralysis. Jesus did that in that sequence to show him and the others who were around him of what was most important. That yes, a healed body is a wonderful thing and a wonderful miracle, but ultimately it means nothing without a healed soul. And for us, that's something that we can very easily lose sight of in our lives. For example, if we go to visit someone in the hospital, someone who is gravely ill, it's so easy to think that the most important thing is to have that illness or that disease cured and so the person can recover and return home and go back to leading a healthy life. And yes, that is important, but there is a greater need than that. The most important thing for this man in our reading was to receive spiritual healing, for his sins to be forgiven, for him to be able to stand righteous before God. And it was ultimately for that purpose that Jesus came. Jesus came so that we may have life, eternal life. And so as we read in the Gospels, after this miraculous healing, Jesus' ministry continued, and his name continued to be spread throughout the land. His ministry of healing and of teaching drew many followers who gathered around him and listened to his teaching, but it also attracted many enemies, people who were jealous of his fame and his popularity. Ultimately, towards the end of his time of public ministry, on Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem in triumph to the acclamation of crowds of people who were lining the streets, welcoming him in, but he knew that his death was quickly drawing near. Then on Maundy Thursday evening, after praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was betrayed by one of his own closest followers, and he was arrested and taken away to be tried and executed. And on the next day, on Good Friday, Jesus was put to death in an agonizing and the most shameful way possible at that time, on a cross. He had done nothing wrong. He was innocent of any crime. But he died as a punishment for the sins of the whole world, for your sins and for mine. Jesus suffered the equivalent agony of hell hanging there on the cross, being totally separated and disconnected from all the love and grace and blessing of God the Father, all so that you and I will never have to experience that agony, that suffering of eternal punishment and disconnection from God and his blessing in hell. Jesus took our place. He died for us, for you and for me. And then Jesus was in the grave for 3 days, following which the greatest event that has ever happened in the history of the whole world took place, when Jesus rose triumphantly from the dead. Jesus had been dead, but now he was alive again. He was risen. He is risen indeed. That miracle that Jesus performed, his own resurrection from the dead, dwarfs all of the other miracles that he had done before that and that he would do after that time. The miracle that we read about today from Mark chapter 7 of the healing of that deaf and mute man in the region of the Decapolis, that was a great and amazing miracle. It was a miracle beyond comparison, something that the people who had seen it, they had never seen anything like it. They never dreamed that such a thing could be possible. Jesus healed that man's body. Amazing. But by his death on the cross, Jesus healed the man's soul. That man who had had his body healed, his hearing and his speech restored, he would still ultimately, physically die. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, that man with a healed soul would live forever. Sometimes we think about the terrible diseases that exist in the world that cause great suffering and pain, sadness, and grief. We may often dream about a time when there will be cures found for all of those diseases. One of the biggest, of course, is cancer in all of its various forms. Wouldn't it be great if scientists were able to find a cure for cancer, for all of the different types of cancer? Yes, that would be great. That would be a wonderful thing. But even if that were to happen, death would still come for us all. If cancer were able to be cured in all of its forms, there would still be some other disease, or ultimately just the overall physical deterioration of old age that will eventually lead to death for all of us if Jesus doesn't return first on the last day. God tells us through his apostle Paul, the wages of sin is death. The result, the consequence of sin is death. And all of us are sinful. So the death of our bodies, physical death, is something that we know we simply cannot escape. Again, unless Jesus returns first on the last day. But as believers in Jesus as our Savior, we have been given the cure for death itself. And that cure does not come in a medicine bottle. It doesn't come in pill or injection form. That cure is found only in the cross of Jesus and in his empty tomb. There on the cross where Jesus shed his holy, precious blood, where he paid for our sins through his innocent suffering and death. When that good news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead was first preached in the region of the Decapolis, where this miraculous healing in our reading today took place, we can imagine the joy of that man whom Jesus healed here in Mark chapter 7 when he heard that good news, that Jesus had died, but now he is risen from the dead. Imagine him hearing that news with his still relatively newly restored sense of hearing, that miracle that had also been worked by that same Jesus. And now there he was, hearing with his healed ears that greatest news that could ever be told. He was hearing that because of the miraculous healing that Jesus had performed for him. And then, when he heard that news, then certainly he also understood why Jesus had also set his tongue free, miraculously given him the ability to speak clearly, so that he could also then tell of that good news to the people around him, so that he could tell of the things that had been done to him and of this most wonderful news of Jesus' resurrection that had been told to him. As we think about this miracle and the greatest miracle of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, which means salvation for us who believe, the real wonder in all of this is that Jesus has done all of this for me. Jesus makes me to be able to see through the eyes of faith. Jesus gives me the ability to hear and to understand all of the wonderful truths of his never-failing love for me. Jesus enables me to speak, to tell others about this good news of his love. He died. He rose again from the dead. He is coming back again, all for me and for you. That's the most wonderful thing about all of this, that Jesus even loves a sinner, a lowly sinner like me. Through Jesus, I receive forgiveness for all of my sins. Through Jesus, I have peace with God, peace that has already begun, that lasts for my whole life on this earth, and that will continue for eternal life with God in heaven. This is the most wonderful gift of God's grace and love. The most wonderful gift from our Heavenly Father, who loves each of us dearly for Jesus' sake. Jesus has called me by the gospel. He has enlightened me with his gifts. He sanctifies and he keeps me in the true faith unto life everlasting. Yes, he has done everything well. I can hear the voice of my Savior calling to me, speaking lovingly and comfortingly to me through his holy word. I speak now in response about these wonderful things that I've heard and seen and experienced and know and believe in my heart. I can tell others about this greatest miracle, the greatest miracle that has ever happened to me, when he saved my soul by dying on the cross to make me whole. That is the greatest miracle of all.